Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
There's one thing no one can survive, and that's death. Unless, well, it depends on just how dead you are. Sam Parnia is an intensive care doctor with a sought-after medical specialty, resurrection. He can bring patients back to life hours after they die. Parnia teaches at the Stony Brook University School of Medicine, and he's at the forefront of the new science of resuscitation. Steve Paulson sat down with him to talk about erasing death.
Sam, I have to say, I always thought I knew what death is. It's what happens when your heart stops and your brain stops functioning, but it's actually a bit more complicated than that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's an evolving understanding that we have. And the reason why most people, including perhaps most physicians, actually have this perception of a sort of a fixed moment, you know, to most people listening to the program, if you were to say a person is dead, for them that's absolute finite and there's a moment that you get there, and then when you get there you can't come back again. And the reason for that is because if you look back historically through centuries and millennia, essentially when the heart stopped beating, a person would then immediately stop breathing, the brain would immediately stop functioning, and that's why doctors shine a light on the eyes and they demonstrate that you have these fixed and dilated pupils of the eye, demonstrating that the brain stem and the reflexes of the brain have stopped functioning. And that was the moment of death. And that is still the moment of death that is used in hospitals to give someone, for instance, a time of death that's put on a death certificate. However, what we've now come to understand, and really through progress in resuscitation science over the last 50 years, and in particular the last 10 years, is that essentially it's only after a person has died and turned into a corpse. And I just want to be clear, I'm not playing with words, I'm not trying to be ambiguous, I'm really talking about someone who's literally died. And to take this to the extreme, imagine someone who, say, was in the French Revolution who had their head guillotined off. I mean, as dead as you can imagine, okay? Mm-hmm. When you become a corpse, it's only at that time that the cells inside the body start to undergo their own process of death. And that actually brain cells can remain viable while non-functioning for a lot longer than we thought, perhaps many hours of time.
So just to be clear about this, you're saying that it's possible for people to die in the technical definition of death and yet still come back to life.
Absolutely. So it's not that it's possible if people do die, but what is possible is to still bring them back for a significant period of time after they have died. And the reason for that is because the cells inside the body have not yet become irreversibly damaged as a consequence of the lack of oxygen that's getting to them. And we used to think that we only had 4 or 5 minutes before brain cells would become irreversibly damaged. And now we know that was completely wrong, that we have many hours of time. And therefore, the art and science of resuscitation of the 21st century is learning how to manipulate those cellular changes that are occurring in the brain cells and other cells to prevent them from going to a point where they're irreversibly damaged, while at the same time restarting the heart and bringing back a whole person without brain damage.
This sounds like a strange definition of death. I mean, I guess, why not just say that someone dies when they are gone once and forever? Why say that, you know, death is this thing that happens, you know, after cardiac arrest, but they still can come back?
Well, the reason for that is because, and you pointed out something here, most people, when they hear the term cardiac arrest, they think you're talking about like a subset of people who've died, say, from a heart attack. Cardiac arrest is not a heart attack. Cardiac arrest is a medical term for death. It's when the heart stops beating for whatever reason. Say someone who's in a motor vehicle accident, meningitis, they've cancer, whatever you can think of that causes a person to die. When they die, that's called cardiac arrest. Now, what we're finding is that the advances in resuscitation science are beginning to challenge our understanding of what death really is. So we used to think clearly there's a black and white, you know, you're either dead or you're alive. And now we know that there's this long and significant period after you die in which you enter this gray zone where death can be reversed. Now, clearly, if you leave someone long enough, the cells inside the brain will become so damaged that no matter what you do, you can't bring them back again. But no one really knows how long that time is. So Should you wait, say, an hour or 2 hours or 10 hours or 6 hours after a person has died before being certain that their cells are now irreversibly damaged?
So what do scientists know now that they didn't know 10 or 20 years ago? I mean, why has this ability to bring people back after death, why has it expanded so much?
Well, the key discoveries, I think, that have happened perhaps more so in the last 10 years is that essentially the notion that we had that we only have 4 or 5 minutes after you deprive brain cells of oxygen leads to absolute irreversible brain cell damage has now been shown not to be correct. And therefore, we now know that cell death is a biological process that takes place through enzymatic processes. In other words, there are catalysts, chemical catalysts, that lead to cells to die. And therefore, if you learn how to manipulate those, you can therefore bring back a whole person. And that's really where the focus has become, and that's what we are dealing with.
So how do you do that? How do you slow down cell death?
We know that chemical changes from high school chemistry need heat. So if you were to cool down the body, you will slow down the rate by which the chemical steps that are taking a brain cell that's potentially viable into a state of irreversible damage is taking place. You can slow down that rate. Now, we're not talking about cryogenics. We're not talking about freezing. We're talking simply about chilling the body from 99 degrees to, say, 92 degrees Fahrenheit. So just a little bit.
And is there anything else besides cooling the body that you're doing?
You find there are things done in other countries. For instance, in Japan and South Korea, as well as Taiwan, one of the things that's pretty much their standard of care in many of their hospitals, even in the emergency rooms, is they have a device called extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. And as the name suggests, or abbreviated to ECMO, it's essentially a system by which they take blood out of a person's body, they siphon it out, it goes to a membrane, and the membrane delivers oxygen to it, and then it's pumped around the body. And by doing that, they're giving their doctors hours of time to slow down the rate by which brain cells are dying and go back and fix the underlying problem that caused the person to die, say a heart attack or a road traffic accident, that young person who hemorrhaged, go back, try and fix the problem and get them back again. And they're having enormous success by doing that. But incredibly, in the United States, it is not standard of care. You'll be lucky if they have it at a hospital. And if they do have it, it's very patchy, whether they use it for these patients or not. And so that is a real game changer we found in this field.
This is really remarkable, what you're talking about. I mean, just what science, what medicine has discovered about how to bring people back to life. And we should talk some about case histories here. I mean, you've had a lot of personal contact with these, and you tell some remarkable stories in your book, Erasing Death. Tell me about Joe Tirolosi.
He's a 57-year-old gentleman who was a chauffeur driver who came to Cornell Medical Center, where I used to work. And essentially, as soon as he arrived, his heart stopped, and he died. He came, and he had almost 50 minutes of CPR, where most doctors at that point would have given up on him. And incredibly, the doctors who were on went on for longer, and eventually, at about that time, they managed to restart his heart, while at the same time, as we said, cooled him down, using primitive stuff, ice packs, taking literally bags, filling up from the drinks vending ice machine, and putting it all over his body, cooling him down to preserve his cells. And then he was taken to the cardiac catheterization laboratory, and they found that he has a massive heart attack, which is what had caused him to die. They fixed the problem, took him to the coronary care unit, and they all thought he's going to be brain damaged because he had such a long period of cardiac arrest. But incredibly, he recovered, and when they took him out of his coma, he started telling the nurses and people there that he had this very profound experience that had completely changed him. So it put together a number of the most critical elements in bringing a person back.
And the profound experience you just mentioned is what we would call a near-death experience, although you don't actually like that word, do you?
Yes. Traditionally, people have called these near-death experiences. And it's interesting, if you look back at the history, CPR was discovered in 1960. So it was only then that medicine found the way to bring more and more people back to life after they would have traditionally been declared dead and could not have come back again. And by 1975, the first book was published that described these incredible experiences that people were having when they'd been critically ill and sometimes going beyond the threshold of death, in other words, having a cardiac arrest. Now, unfortunately, at that time, this was so new And the person who wrote it, his background was philosophy and he was a psychiatrist.
This is Raymond Moody.
Raymond Moody, that's right. He termed these near-death experiences, which at the time I think was appropriate, but now looking back scientifically is enormously problematic because there is no such term as being near death in medical science. There is no such thing in intensive care. You may be dead or alive, but there's no such thing as being near it.
So what's the phrase that you would prefer then?
We know the biology of cardiac arrest incredibly well, and it's the same for everyone. So it's standardized, and it allows us to be precise and to study it very precisely. And therefore, the experiences that they have after going through cardiac arrest, which is the same as death, I refer to as an actual death experience, which is very different to this ambiguous, vague sort of collection of experiences that have been put under the umbrella term of near-death experiences.
Sam Parnia is an intensive care doctor, director of resuscitation research at Stony Brook University School of Medicine, and he's the author of the book Erasing Death. Steve Paulson's talked with him.